I wanted to tell you I had an in-person interview with you last time you were here, but I canceled it because I had a cold and I didn't want to get anybody sick.
I can't catch anything. I've been alive for 200 years. I'm just a spirit. I catch colds all the time, but thank you for being nice and not getting me sick, because that's what kills me on tour. If I get a cold, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I don't know how you guys stay relatively healthy, you know, with shaking hands. And
I live in California where it's, you know, usually the same temperature all the time. You can wear shorts during the day and a light jacket at night. But the last week or two here, it's been raining and cold. And then I'm going to Portland tomorrow where we rehearse and there's snow. And then it's just like our whole tour, like it's going to be a lot of climate change for me as I go through. So I need to stay wrapped up and stay out of the cold and take my vitamins.
So you're coming up here to rehearse likely because of Kyle. We love Kyle.
Yeah, that's kind of became our home base when Kyle joined the band back in 2015. You know, he had a lot of space up there. I mean, I live in California where you basically have to rent the weather here. So to rent a rehearsal spot and to even get, you know, even close to the size of the space we have at Kyle's versus what we could get here is thousands and thousands of dollars of difference. And he has a lot of space. He has his own house and a rehearsal spot. So it just kind of became our home base. Plus our guitarist Ramon lives there now as well. So we have two of us that live in California, and we just fly up to Portland. It's an hour and a half flight. The flights are usually super cheap, and the only guy we have to fly in from Texas is our bassist, Troy. So, yeah, our rehearsals are usually, you know, a week before a tour. We don't really have any rehearsal time of, hey, guys, let's get together and jam. There's none of that unless everybody wants to get on a plane.
So you said about a week before tour, and that's almost exactly right. You start on March 7th with Cradle of Filth.
That is correct, yeah. We leave tomorrow. Portland, we get in early, so we'll rehearse tomorrow. I think the bus picks us up on the 5th, and then we start our drive from Portland to Vegas, I think, on the 5th. That's sort of what my calendar says right now. So we'll rehearse 4 days, and it's really easy for us. I mean, we're not doing a lot of new material. I mean, we play so much. I don't even know how many shows we did last year, but I think it was over 120 shows last year, and we constantly play, and I'm really, really thankful to have the guys in my band that I do that are just killer musicians, and they know how to play. You know what I mean? They do their homework. So when we get together, it's not like, oh, I forgot. I mean, we're all human. We all mess up and hit notes, but I'm really thankful I've got a good band that we get back together, and literally the first song we play, we're like, whoa, we just played yesterday. We just get better and better, so I'm really thankful to have a group of guys that can do that, and we don't need to rehearse for a month. And, you know, and I've told people all the time, and this is something I learned a long time ago, is you can practice in one spot and get really, really good at it and go, man, we're the best. Let's take it out on the road. And that first show you play is so different because you're out of your place you practiced in for a month. So you learn how to be a band by getting on a different stage every night that's not normal and learning how to do the same show. That's where you get good, and that's where I've learned the difference of you can practice all you want, but the best practice is playing live.
There was a BBC documentary some years ago about a superfan who spent the day with Fanny Phil, and it was like his father arranged it because his son was, you know, so into it. And the fan was so disappointed and surprised by the fact that Danny Filth was just a regular guy.
That sounds like a monster episode.
It does, actually.
There's an actual monster episode that's just like that. I never knew about this. So what happened? The kid just told him to leave, or?
Yeah, well, he like spent, I think, a few days with him on the bus, you know, and was just surprised that he was kind of like his dad. And then, you know, at the end, he realized that it is just a character. I wanted to ask you, what do you think a superfan would be the most surprised about you on a day-to-day basis?
I'm a chameleon, pretty much. I like to, you know, when I'm on stage, I change. It's gotten worse. Like, with this tour and everything I'm doing over the past few years, I've been sort of creating, making our show a lot more theatrical, and I'm getting more involved with props and gimmicks and more, I hate to use the words, magic tricks, but they're like illusion kind of things I do on stage. And So I'm constantly changing mask and changing costumes and things. So like every three songs, I'm a different person. And then when I get off stage and I wash all that makeup off and then I'm the person you're talking to right now, that's a whole nother person. So when someone sees me out of my makeup or something, they're like, whoa, you look so different. And I'm like, well, I hope so. At the same time, there are people, you know, for example, like, you know, what you were saying about the Danny Phil thing, you know, there's a lot of fans that really think that, you know, we sleep in this stuff. Or, you know, like, there was a funny example. My old guitarist told me one time we were playing the Whiskey A Go-Go here in L.A., and my band guys were loading their stuff out. And, of course, I'm being the lead singer, and I'm avoiding loading anything. So I'm upstairs. And he said that he actually heard a fan, you know, as he was signing some autographs, somebody was like, hey, where's Wednesday? Where's Wednesday at? When's Wednesday coming out? And some fan, like, dead seriously, like, looked at the guy and went, he's probably upstairs watching Dracula. And I've just always thought that was I'm not making fun of that fan, but that's okay. Their perception of me, you know, and or what they think. So it's really a strange thing, you know, especially for a younger person who doesn't really understand the on and off switch of what's real and what's not real. So depending on how old this kid was, and plus getting on a bus and seeing how a band functions, it's kind of like seeing a movie being made. I guess it could kind of ruin it for you if you saw it. Like if you saw Star Wars being made and then you saw all the or you watch Planet of the Apes, the new ones, where you got a bunch of dudes running around the forest in wetsuits and dots on them that they're going to CGI. You'd see that and be like, this is dumb. Just in your mentality of what you know and what you don't know. And as a young kid, probably seeing someone like Danny and then seeing that he has to come off the bus and he has to get out of that character because he has to be himself for a bit. And that could be devastating for someone who doesn't understand that. There's an episode of The Monsters where Eddie Monster meets his favorite TV show host, Zombo. And as Herman gets him a pass, he goes there, he meets Zombo out of his makeup, and he's like, you're a fake! So I always wondered the same thing when I do my meet and greets, because after the show, my meet and greets, my fans come to the bus, and I'm already out of that costume. I'm already, you know, showered and dressed, and a lot of fans are like, well, that's a bummer, I wanted to see you in that. And I'm like, well, I'm not wearing that for 4 hours. It's wet and gross, you know, So I'm this ever-changing chameleon, and I hope that I don't let fans down, but I've just always tried to be honest in my interviews. Like when I'm talking to you, I'm not using a fake interview voice, and there are a million bands and front guys out there that'll do this voice. Let me give you an example. Oh, how you doing? I'm Wednesday 13. Well, my band, we're just a bunch of good guys just traveling and just trying to make it. There's guys that put on that fake car salesman voice, and I hate that. I smell it a mile off. I see it, and I'll never be that guy. So I always try to be honest in my interviews, so if a fan did read about me, they would hear me being a real person. So if they met me, and they'd go, oh, cool, that's the guy. You're just like the guy I read about, instead of me putting on an act, you know. And I think that's what some people maybe, and, you know, again, it depends on the person and their age and stuff, but that's hilarious. That's awesome. So, yeah, I get fans that come on the bus, and, you know, I'd be a good question because they don't get interviewed after they leave my bus, so who knows what people think. They may be disappointed that I'm not fully dressed up in as Wednesday 13 they see on stage, but it's just kind of hard to do 24/7, you know?
Right, I imagine.
Alice Cooper's the same way, you know, when as soon as he gets off stage, he's out of that character and in jeans and shoes and a hat and ready to play poker, you know, and it's, you know, just people have different ways of doing stuff, but it's just crazy how the public has their own view of what someone is all the time. Like, oh, that guy must constantly be doing that. He's constantly drinking blood.
Right. It's got to be weird having super fans who feel like they know you. You know, that's got to be very, very weird to have the, you know, the Wednesday 13 character and yourself. That's got to be tough.
It's, I won't say tough. There's nothing tough. I mean, I've got an awesome job. But what's tough, if anything, you got to have tough skin. You got to have thick skin because at this day and age, everybody has a voice. It used to just be the press. you'd get a review in Metal Edge or Metal Hammer or something like that, and they would say, oh, you suck. And you'd be like, oh, my God, that's devastating. Now you have magazines that could still do that and go, you know what, your performance sucked, and then they'll post it, and then there's a 3,000 comments, everybody else telling you how much you suck. So the social media is just up the level of what a person can take, and unfortunately, I mean, and you can read that stuff, or you can avoid it. And I know people that will tell me, I don't read any of my comments. And when people say that, I go, well, you may not have thick skin. Me, I read my comments. Like, I love when our video came out last year, or for the last record, What the Night Brings, like, the first 20 comments were, like, I was laughing so hard I almost fell out of my computer chair. They were so mean. They were just, you know, but to have thick skin, and if you can't laugh at yourself, then, you know, I know what I look like. I know I may look ridiculous to somebody, but to a fan, I may look exactly like they want. But then it's the ones that don't like me, and I read the comments, and somebody will go, oh, yeah, I just went on Spotify and listened to the whole Wednesday 13 catalog. It was the longest song I ever heard. Or somebody goes, I thought this chick was dead. So, you know, it's just, it's crazy. Everybody's got a voice. And I think the hardest part is to, I guess, just to smile about it for some people. To me, it's not hard. Like, I read comments. I hate when I read someone that's disappointed that comes to a show and says they had a bad experience or something like that will bother me. But when someone will just go, hey, you're stupid, this song sucks, you know, that just rolls right off my shoulder. But, you know, but yeah, I read comments. But again, end of the day, at this time and age, you have to have thick skin, because if you read everything and you take it to heart, you're going to, you know, if you don't have a good positive mentality on yourself, you're going to believe everything you read, and then that's just not good.
So, like, the newest release that you're working on, it comes out, and let's say everybody across the board hated it. Would you make an adjustment next time, or is it more like, I do this for myself, you know, here's the finger?
Oh, as far as, like, the fans, if everybody hated it, or the band? So as far as, like, the fans, no, I mean, here's what I try to do. I, you know, and I don't overthink it by any means. At least I don't think I do. And anytime I do start to overthink it, I kind of pinch myself and go, listen to what you're overthinking. You're overthinking a 3.5-minute song about drinking blood. And then I go, okay, don't overthink it. But I always try to put myself in the audience. I always remember that as I'm writing, me now as I get older, I'm trying, you know, I'm a musician, I'm listening to new stuff, I'm always trying new stuff. For us to try a new song with a different drum pattern that I haven't used before is exciting for me. For some fans, they may go, oh, that's stupid, it doesn't sound like Wednesday 13. I'm like, well, yeah, because it's something new we tried, you know. So I think about that aspect, but I also try to keep it true, so there's still that one fan out there that may go, well, you know, I like the first two Wednesday records, the last three were too heavy and I don't like them. Well, when they come to the show, we may play a lot of the new record, but there's also three or four that one fan in the back is going to be like, all right, cool, I didn't waste my money coming here, they played Bad Things and I love to say fuck. It's over. I'm doing this so long, having so many releases, trying to please everybody, I can't think about that. I just do what I do, and if I know it's good in my gut, you know, like for this new album, for example, we just finished our brand new record. We're mixing it right now, and I know, and if I'm wrong, someone's going to have to hit me. I know that this next album, I know the fans are going to love it instantly. I just know it. Well, condolences. I did not know. I was like, I hope they dig it. I love it, but I knew it was a different thing. And not to say that this record isn't different, because it's totally different, but it's, I don't know how to explain it, but it will be, the fans are going to love it. I know it, because I've did something really cool, and I think I've finally captured what I've always wanted to do, and I think I've made the ultimate Wednesday record, and I didn't really even try. So, yeah, so I just don't always write and go, oh, fuck, I don't care if the fans like it. I do care if the fans like it. That's why you put music out. You don't want to put it out and have people say it sucks, you know. So I always try to write forward. I always try to write as me growing as a musician and an artist, but I always remember to pay respect to the past and never forget that what the core of what Wednesday 13 is, you know, right. And that always shines through in our songs and our records, at least at some point, you know, so that's something I always try to do, but I never, ever have that mentality of screw everybody, if they don't like it, no, I want everybody to like it, but I'm also going to take chances at the same time.
Since we were talking about the new album, can you talk about the name of it or a release date yet?
I can tell you certain things about it. I can tell you that it's called Necrophase, and what I've done with this record that's different. Someone asked me, like, what would you compare it to any of your other albums? And I can't, you know. Maybe a month or two ago, I could go, oh, maybe it's kind of leaning toward this one, but hearing it now, I'm doing the mixes, I'm hearing it in whole, and I'm like, this is just a total different record. What I did is, basically since September, I unplugged my satellite, I don't watch TV, I have only paid attention to my social media, I see a couple of news outlets and things like that, but for the past, since September, I literally have surrounded, and I won't say confined myself, but a very nice confinement, because I'm not trapping myself in, but I can just basically confine myself in nothing but late 70s, 1980s culture stuff, which is not that I had to go far to get it, because I already had all this stuff. I'm talking like from the monster movies of stuff like Nightmare on Elm Street and Halloween and those kind of movies, and everything from that to TV shows like WKRP in Cincinnati, you know what I mean, like to Andy Griffith. I watched everything that I grew up on. Like, when I was a kid, when I was in the 80s, I went, what did I watch every day? You know, and they were still showing shows, the black and white shows in syndication, like The Monsters and Addams Family. And as a kid, I didn't know if that was new or old. It was just on. I basically surrounded myself in all of this stuff. And me just being surrounded by it, it really brought back my love for that culture, what I grew up on, because I was really getting burnt out on it. Like, I didn't really care to watch horror movies. Someone would come up to me a year or so ago and be like, hey, man, what's your favorite horror movie? Let's talk movies. I'd be like, oh, God. I'd rather talk about making a taco or something. Like, I was just burnt out. And just because I've been doing it so long, and I guess I kind of lost sight of what I loved about it. And that was also, and then this past year, I've been alcohol-free, and it's opened my brain, and I just literally went back and said, what made me happy before I started drinking? Before I started drinking and partying, and I thought that made me happy. What did I have as a kid that made me happy before all that? And then I literally, it's all the stuff I just explained to you, all these shows, everything, that culture. So I surrounded myself in it, and it just kind of rebirthed in my love for music and that culture. And that has came full, like, throttle with this new record. This new record is like what I'm calling is the ultimate Wednesday 13 horror album and horror soundtrack. And I've worked with Roy from Stone Sour. The drummer from Stone Sour is scoring the music to our music. So it's like I wanted it to be something that you listen to, almost like you're listening to a movie. And there's, like, interludes with sound pieces, and I have special guests on it, and I put a lot of work into it, and that's why we haven't said, hey, the record's coming out next week because we're going on tour. We're not rushing the record out because there's so much that's been put into it, and there's so much we're going to do with it. So it'll be out later this year. It'll be out before Halloween. I have the release date, but I can't tell you, but it'll be out before Halloween. We're doing a lot of stuff before that. There's going to be a lot of set up little small movie trailers and things like that we're doing for the song. I'm not doing your normal setup for a record like I did before where it's me on a green screen with a graveyard background and someone asking me, hey, so how was it recording with Zeus? What was this record like? What was it like? Well, you know, we recorded the guitars and then we recorded the drums and then it's boring. We all know that. So I'm going to do everything totally different. If I do an interview, I want it to be like one of those interviews where the guy's like blacked out and his voice is like all distorted. I want to do everything opposite. I want to do commercials. I want to make a Wednesday action figure and somehow have that make it like an old 80s commercial where here's the new Wednesday 13 action figure and will be somehow like a little trailer for the movie or something. So this is where my mind's going because I've been doing nothing but watching TV and commercials and things like that. So and the great thing is the labels, everything I tell them I want to do, they're like, that sounds cool. Instead of going, are you an idiot? So I have a great team around me. I got the people at the label that I'm working with that understand what I'm wanting to do and the packaging that's going to go along. I mean, there's two different album covers for this release. The vinyl's totally different than the CD. The CD's going to have an extra track that the vinyl won't have. And then the deluxe versions we're doing, when I heard what they're going to do, I like looked around like, are you serious? Like, I mean, we can actually do this? And they're like, yeah. So when I say I'm putting everything into it, I'm putting everything, including the kitchen sink. There might actually be a kitchen sink in the packaging. And it's great, you know, just because, and I don't care because I know 90% of the people are going to see the cover, and that's it, because they're going to Spotify it, they're going to download it, they're never, ever probably going to hold that physical copy, but I'm going to push that and push that to my fans and say, look, you can download it and listen to it on Spotify and your headphones all day, but you got to have a copy of this to hold when you listen to it, because it really, it'd be like going to the movies, but listening to it.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear it.
So, yeah, so I've really went out of my way to do this. So I had a lot of people helping me with it, and it's just, it's the coolest thing I've worked on, and I'm so proud of it. And I just, when I think about how we started it and how, where it is right now, it's just like, it's really, it's my favorite thing I've done. And a few of the guys in the band that have been in the band for a while, they're like, this is my favorite thing I've done since I've been a part of this. So, you know, there's people that don't normally give me comments that have heard it are like, this is really good. And I'm like, what did you really think before? You know what I mean? So a song, it's like I'm getting a reaction just off a couple of songs, and I can tell that we did the right thing without even thinking about it. You know, so I'm excited about it. It's going to be out later this year. You might hear one new song on the upcoming Cradle tour that we're doing. We haven't decided because I haven't went to rehearsal yet. So we're going to work that out over the weekend, and we'll see next week what we play live. But yeah, we're excited. We've been off tour for a few months now. We did Ozfest, which is like a one-off, and our last show was November 24th. And then, so we've been off for a few months just recording, and everybody's just like caged animals ready to be unleashed and go play. So what a better way to go out on tour with a cool band like Cradle of Filth, House of Blues, Vegas.
I'm just going to ask you three more questions because I know we probably have other things to do.
It's okay. I'm actually exercising as we talk. That's what I do. When I do interviews, I walk.
Nice.
So, yeah, so when I get done with an interview, I'm like, cool, I did like 3 miles. So that extra question might get me my extra points for the day.
Awesome. I will try my best. First off, congratulations on your sobriety. I think that's really
Thank
awesome.
You. 13 months today, because it's early, so every end of the month is like my month. So it's been almost 13, I'm saying 13 months because it's the last day of the month. So it's 13 months.
Right?
And you can celebrate number 13, I go with it.
Yeah, that's a good number to go through. With the album, is it one of those, the new album coming out, is it one of those albums that you want people to listen to from start to finish? Like song one has to be in its place, song two has
yes.
to fall in three? Okay.
Exactly. I mean, I am like crazy about that. Probably, people probably say, no one really cares that much. And I go, I don't care. I do. I'm the same way with our set list. Like, no one makes our set list in the band. I have my band suggest stuff and go, well, maybe this will flow better. But for the most part, like, I literally will, they'll go, hey, what's the set list? And I go, well, I can sing you one, but you know I'm going to change it 35 times before I get there. So how about this? Here's a list of songs we're probably going to do, but we're only, you know, here's 30 songs. We're going to play 15 of them. You know, so, yeah, so I forgot where I was going with this whole question anyway. But, yeah, so it's hard for us to pick out what we're going to play, and, you know, we just all kind of know, to have everybody just do their homework.
Yeah, I love those albums that you have to listen to from start to finish. Those are my favorites.
Well, that's how I've always listened to a record. Like, now I know where we're going with the question now. But, yeah, I've listened to it where it starts, the way it starts and the way it ends, and I really did it like a soundtrack, so. And once people hear the special guests and stuff we have on it, like, it's one of those records, I feel like I can listen to it as an outside person and then go, whoa, that's great. I immediately want to start it over.
Nice, yeah.
And so, yeah, everything flows. I make it flow like a movie. It's gonna start off ripping your face off, and then it's going to take you in a dark corner and beat you for a little bit, and then it's going to take you to the fun house, and then it's going to bring you out, and what's left of you is going to have a good time. That's kind of how I explain my record. It's just like a really horrible roller coaster ride of fun.
like a lovely roller coaster ride to me.
Yeah.
So when you, I know you don't have a set list because you just said so, when you think about doing an opening spot for a band like Cradle of Filth that is in a different genre than yours, I think
yes.
it's a great pairing, but it is slightly different.
Very different. Well, yeah, pretty much very different. I keep thinking about probably 10% of their audience may know us or have heard of my name. So I know it's, you know, a lot of new people there. So
right.
I, we definitely have to, I'm cutting your question off, but I, we have to cater our set. I guess if I didn't care, I could play whatever I wanted, but we definitely are making our set where it'll work with their audience. You know what I mean? Like, we have enough material and enough different sounding material that a set for Cradle of Filth would be easy to do. I mean, we can make a set and open up for Slayer, although they would throw stuff at us, but we could still do it. So there isn't any band that I, you know, you put us out with Green Day, I've got a punk rock set. You know, there's not many bands that I would be afraid to play with. And Cradle of Filth, luckily, and that's what I like about them so much, is that they've crossed the streams like Ghostbusters. Don't cross the streams, but they crossed the streams in the same sense that I've done on a much smaller scale. But if you go to a Cradle of Filth show versus going to a extreme black metal show where it's mainly guys and it's got to be, you know what I mean? Like, there's the rules of Cradle of Filth kind of are their own rules, their own little special gang. And you'll see in their audience, it's not just, you know, even if they're, I don't even know what they call them, if it's called black metal or whatever it is. But, you know, but what I'm saying is you can go to a Cradle of Filth show and you'll see people wearing Typo Negative shirts or Bauhaus shirts, Misfit shirts or Slipknot shirts. Whereas if you went to a super extreme metal band, and if you don't have a T-shirt on with a font that you can't read, you might get punched in the face. So, you know, with Cradle of Filth, they kind of have an open policy for the strange. And for us, we're kind of like that band. We come through town, you know, all the black sheeps of the family come to our show, you know. So it's like with us together, we're just courting all the weirdos and the kids that don't fit in, just like we did, you know. So we're their support group. They're what we need. We feed each other, and it's a great pairing. I think it's going to be awesome. And it's a challenge for me because I don't know what the fans are going to be like. It's easy to come out and do your own show and have someone screaming Wednesday, Wednesday, singing all the words, but I know I'm going to have the first 10 rows. People want to see Cradle of Filth and don't want to see me. It's a challenge to come out and, you know, and I know the first three songs are going to have that grump face, but my job is to up that grump. But, no, it's, you know, just literally to go out, and that's what I'm excited about this tour. Like, we haven't done a lot of support tours, so this whole year we're doing support tours, so it's fun for me. So it's like I get to be Rocky. I get to go out every day and fight Apollo.
Yeah, well, you totally answered my question. It was, would you have a different tactic than doing a headlining tour, and you answered that beautifully. I think you're amazing as far as being strong and kind of, it sounds like you're kind of excited about the challenge, you know, and I think that's really awesome.
Well, it is. It's. I mean, I don't know. For some people are lazy and they want it easy and they want to come out and instantly have the audience. Yeah, I'd love for the fans to love us, but we just got to go out. I'm going to go out. I'm going to own it as in my brain the way I would anything and make the audience like us. That's my job, you know, and it's something that I started doing years ago when Murder Dolls toured with Iron Maiden. We played, a lot of people don't know that, we did 6 weeks with Iron Maiden all over Europe, and we played in front of no less than 10,000 people every single day. 10,000 was the least amount, and 80,000 was the most. Every single day, a band wearing eyeliner and fishnets in 2003. and Iron Maiden, when I say 10,000 people, I mean 10,000 guys.
And 10,000, like, fanatical Iron Maiden fans.
10,000 men with long hair, with jean jackets and patches that just worship Iron Maiden. And we did 6 weeks of that. And just the crowd was brutal. I mean, brutal. The first 2 weeks, I didn't know what to do. They were louder than us, telling us to fuck off.
Oh, man.
You know, And about 2 weeks into it, I literally kind of changed my strategy and went on stage with a different mentality, and I kind of turned it around. So like the first three songs, they're booing us, but by the fifth or sixth song, I had everybody in that arena with their hands up. And so I learned how to, at the end of that tour, by the end of it, I learned how to somewhat, I won't say master, but somewhat manage an Iron Maiden audience for 30 minutes without getting killed. And that was the best education I've got. So any band that we get in front of now, I'm like, it can't ever be as bad as that.
That's awesome.
I've opened for Slayer in Japan. You know, that's another, but Japan's a different audience. In America, I wouldn't be talking to you now. I'd probably have got hit with a hatchet. But in Japan, they still hated us, but they just didn't throw anything. They just didn't look at us.
They were a little nicer.
Man. I didn't know some stuff was allowed at venues to bring. Like, we had one of the guys in our member of our crew get knocked out with a can of soup or tuna or something.
God.
Yeah, people just, yeah. You're a little 26-year-old skinny goth band, you know, opening for legendary metal band Iron Maiden. You're just literally going out and just saying, hey, you guys want to fight? So that was fun, but it was a lot of work, and I learned a lot from it, and I'm really glad I can say I did that.
That had to be the high point of the training. It's all better from here. I saw Iron Maiden in 2016 in South Africa, and I'd never seen anything like that. I've seen Iron Maiden a ton, but man, those...
Oh, I can only imagine. I've seen it in the Czech Republic. I've seen it in, like, Croatia. I mean, it's insane, but it also is amazing to see how much people in those other countries love music, like how diehard, like they'll kill the opening band, they love you so much, you know what I mean, like it's not just, like they love you so much, they just want to kill this band so they can hear you play, it's nothing personal, just get off stage.
Did you see Slayer's last tour or Kiss's farewell tour that's going on now, have you seen it yet?
I have been following it online, and I follow them on Instagram and see the pictures they post. And I saw, I think someone recorded the opening night in Vancouver, and I watched a couple little clips of it just to see what it was. I didn't want to ruin it in case I get a chance to go see the show somewhere. I don't want to have it ruined for me. Kiss is one of my all-time. Kiss and Alice Cooper are like my all-time favorite bands of all time. Like, Kiss to me are like, they're like superheroes. They're like Spider-Man and Batman. And those costumes, they've, you know, just like in the movies, you've had Michael Keaton, you've had Christian Bale, you've had all these different, you know, and that's kind of how I look at it with the Ace costumes and the Peter. I'm over that whole thing. I'm not going to go, I ain't going to like Kiss because it's not the original band. Kiss is Kiss. They were beyond themselves. They said that in the beginning. They were larger than life. But they're also one of the bands that it's like they're my favorite band, but it's also one of those bands I never really idolized or cared to meet on their personal things. You know what I mean? Like, I love their music, love their look, but I never was like, oh, man, Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons are my idols because of what they talk about. I didn't ever idolize them that way. So it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing that I love that band that much, but I don't really care if I met them.
Right.
I've met Ace and I've met Peter. That's great on accident, but you know, it's weird. That's the weird thing to say, but I'm looking forward to seeing the show. I hope I get to see it. I think it's killer that they're still playing. I think Paul Stanley is the greatest front man with a guitar ever. You know, people are giving him shit about his voice or whatever, and it's like, you do it. You have a hip replacement and still get up there and dance and 6-inch heels. So Kiss is awesome. Gene Simmons shouldn't talk, and I love him.
It's been such a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate this so much. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
Just thank you, and we'll see everybody on tour, and hope everybody digs it. And our new record comes out later this year, and I promise it's worth the wait.